Today, we get to do something pretty cool. Or at least I think it's pretty cool. Something we only get to do once every 7 or so years. See, in most years, today would be the first Sunday after Christmas. The church is very clever in its titling of Sundays. The first Sunday after Christmas because it's the first Sunday after December 25th. So in most years, we would hear an extended version of the prologue of John's Gospel. It's actually just a slightly longer version of the Gospel passage appointed on Christmas Day. But every once in a while, we get to do something different. On page 15 of the Book of Common Prayer, there's a section that begins about the church calendar and lists out the different types of holy days and feast days. And so on the page 15, you get the 7 principal feasts of the church. Feasts like Christmas Day, Easter Day, Pentecost, the Epiphany, All Saints. And then when you turn the page, it talks about Sundays. It says Sundays take precedence over almost every other day. All those lesser feasts and fasts we have in our calendar. But in addition to the principal feast days on page 15, and I love that some of you are now looking at that list, this gladdens my heart so very much. In addition to those days, those principal feast days that are on fixed calendar days, page 16 says there are 3 other feast days that take precedence over the Sunday. The Feast of the Transfiguration, August 6th. The Feast of the Presentation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Temple, also known as Candlemas, February 2nd. And the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus, January 1st. So once every 7 or so years, when January 1st falls on a Sunday like it does today, we don't keep the first Sunday after Christmas, we keep this feast day. I'm very excited that we get to, because if January 1st were not a Sunday, we wouldn't get to keep the Holy Name as a community, because we're not yet in a place where we're keeping holy days. And notice, my friends, I said, yet, the day is coming, and this is supposed to be exciting, not a threat. I realize it can be read either way. When we will keep those holy days, because those days are so important in our calendar. We'll gather for simple celebrations of the Eucharist, but we're not there yet, hopefully soon. But I'm glad we get to keep this day today, because I love this feast day. And truth be told, it's one that's been really important in my own life of faith. Because on this day, many years ago, gathered in a church not unlike this one, keeping this holy day, where I learned something about how God desires integration for our lives. For me, there was a long period of time where I didn't think my identity as a queer person, my identity as a Christian, that those things could actually go together. And I'm sorry to say that the institutional church has done a fair bit to make people like me think, no, those things don't actually go together. But hearing this story painted a new picture for me. And it was a day on this day when I realized, no, God desires integration for us, to live fully into all of the names and the identities God has placed on our hearts, not compartmentalizing and ignoring things, but bringing them together that we might not survive, but instead that we might thrive in the fullness of who God has made us to be. The Feast of the Holy Name, as we heard in our gospel, is the remembrance of the day in which Jesus was circumcised. So this day in the old prayer book was known as the circumcision of our Lord, but we've changed the title to, I see some people nodding like, ooh, I'm really glad we changed the title. So we changed it to Holy Name, because in addition to being circumcised on the 8th day, the child was also named. This was a very important religious and cultural custom. It was required in the Jewish law that this happened. So Mary and Joseph were doing what faithful Jewish people had been doing for generations. But there's more to this day, more to this feast day for us than just this childhood rite of passage. I mean, if it was just about childhood rites of passage, then, you know, in a few months we'd be celebrating, you know, the feast of the first lost tooth of Jesus. But that day is not on our calendar, because there's something more. This isn't just a rite of passage. Names are incredibly important, and the power of names are woven throughout Scripture. In Hebrew Scripture, in the Old Testament, there are moments when a particular event happens, something particular miraculous, where God is revealed and the name of that place is changed. And so, I mean, for example, we have in our window here Jacob's Ladder, and in the story it says, and so that place was then changed, and the name is changed to something else, and the Scripture says, the name was Beth something, fill in the blank, which means, you know, God has provided, or God was revealed, or those things. It's a name change because God was made known in a new way, in a different way, in that place. But it's not just locations that get new names when God is revealed. It happens with people. So think back, right? We're gonna dust off some scriptural memories here. Think back to the story of Abram and Sarah. Abraham, that great founder of the faith, was originally named Abram and his wife Sarah. And it's when God comes to them and says, you will have descendants, so many descendants that they outnumber the stars in the sky. It's in the new covenant that God makes with them after giving them this new vocation, this new mission, that God says, you will now be called Abraham and Sarah. Jacob, in the window here, when Jacob wrestles with the angel while he's traveling down the road, at the end of wrestling all night with the angel of God, he's no longer Jacob. His name is changed to Israel. We see it in the New Testament as well. Simon Peter, he's known by Simon in most of the Gospels. And then there's that moment towards the end of Jesus' life and ministry where Jesus is gathered with his disciples and he says, Simon, you will be called Cephas, you will be called Peter. On this rock, I will build my church. And then there is Paul, who was first known as Saul. He's traveling that road to Damascus. He is struck off his horse by a blinding knight. Jesus said to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And in that profound conversion moment, as that event unfolds, Saul becomes Paul. Every time God gives someone a new vocation, a new ministry, a new identity, their name is changed. Same thing is true for God. The story of Moses, the story of the burning bush, right? Hopefully you all remember that story. The 8 o'clock, they were a little iffy. I got a lot of blank stares behind the mask. And I said, so you know the story at the beginning of the call of Moses?
Window.
Oh yeah, there's another window of that one too. It's the story of Moses, right? Moses, he's tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, not to be confused with Jethro Gibbs from NCIS. But he's tending the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro. My mother is shaking her head in the back. I am so embarrassed. But so then he comes across this cave, and there's a bush. It's on fire, and it hasn't been consumed. And God says to Moses, Moses, you're going to go, and you're going to help liberate my people. You're going to help save them from slavery. Moses is nervous. So he says, well, how are the people going to believe me? Tell me your name that I might tell them. And God says to Moses, I am. Now that is a whole beautiful poetic thing about God being a verb, but that's a sermon for another time. But up until that point, God hasn't had a name. God's been that verb, I am. And in the incarnation, as the unknowable God becomes knowable, as God comes to us in a way that where God can be held and touched, when the creator of the universe can be held in our hands, God gets the name Jesus. The name given by the angels. That name, which in Philippians it says, right, that name which is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth. God is given the name Jesus, allowing us to know God in a different way, allowing us to have that next step in our relationship with God, growing more closely in that intimate relationship of God and humanity. Because names are powerful, right? Think about it. Just the other night, I was at the store, and somebody I knew saw me across the parking lot. They yelled out, hey, Dante, and it made me stop. I was kind of cranky about it because it was raining, but you know, I stopped, and I looked, and right? So if somebody calls out your name, you stop, you look, you pay attention. It's a way that the person actually gets some power over you. It's actually kind of vulnerable to share your name with somebody. This is what God does with us on this day. God, that name, but we can then proclaim that name of Jesus. This is a sign of God doing something new amongst us, of that new vocation as Messiah and Savior, that vocation Jesus will have through his earthly life. And my friends, this is one powerful name. Because not only at the name of Jesus is every knee on heaven and earth and under the earth bend, it is at this name that mountains shake, that demons quake, that the blind receive their sight, the deaf hear, the lame get up and walk. This is the name that changes everything in the course of human history. The most powerful name that there ever was and ever will be. When we claim our names and the names that God has given us, we tap into that powerful name of Jesus, because it is that name too that is sealed upon us in our baptisms. I love that this feast day falls on January 1st. Because this is the day the world around us says it is a new year, a new beginning, right? We make our resolutions that will be forsaken in like 2 weeks maybe. But it's at that hope and that optimism of something new. This feast day, this day we celebrate the holy name of Jesus. It's a new day for us as well. It's a new beginning, a new vocation, a new ministry is unfolding. It's an invitation for us to take off all the false names and all the identities that no longer work for us, to take off the mask for us. I realize, please don't actually take off your mask right now. This is more metaphorical than literal, but right, we take all those, the pretend, we take all that off. Those names and identities that no longer are life-giving for us, we forsake those. And we take on the names that God has placed in our hearts from the very beginning of time, when God knew us when we were still in our mother's wombs, and place those names in the depths of our souls. On this feast day, we are reminded of our incorporation into the life of God, into the life of Jesus, and we claim that name unabashedly, without abandon, and we are called to proclaim that name into the midst of the world, that that name might shatter the darkness, that might break the brokenness. That's not how that phrase goes. It might heal the brokenness in the world around us. It might bring new life and new love to a world on the cusp of this new beginning. My friends, this day, let us give thanks for that name by which we are adopted into God, that name above every name, that all-powerful name of Jesus. And as we claim that name, let us claim the names God has given us, that we might live fully in this world, thriving with all creation, being God's children, about the ministry and work that God has been and will continue to do amongst us. Amen.